Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is June 8th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 25 of Who's Reading the Organon. We will be reading aphorism 283, if that's correct.
Yeah, that's right, Debbie.
Okay, thanks. And we'll get as far as we can today with that, including any of the footnotes. We've really been having a great time this week so far, talking about varied subjects wherever the Organon leads us. I have a few inspirational quotes today, and not so much bad news. So the first one is by Lee Siegel. It says, a man with one watch knows what time it is. A man with two watches is never quite sure. I think that pertains to understanding the Organon also, that if you go by the principles, you can't go wrong. You know where you are in time and space, but if you're trying to put yourself into two different places or two different time zones at the same time, you're not really sure and can create a lot of doubt in your prescriptions. The next one is another Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland. Begin at the beginning and go on till you come to the end, then stop.
Sounds like an excellent guide to case taking.
Perfect. Let's save that for one of our umbrella summaries. And the next one is Andre Guide, who says, believe those who are seeking the truth. Doubt those who find it. Ah, that's a deep thought. How do we make this pertain to our studies? Well, we were talking quite a bit about faith in our last session, and that Hahnemann does not say to believe anything blindly, that you must really examine whatever it is you're doing fully and thoroughly, and it's only upon its proof that you really create that inner faith. Do you think that fits with this little aphorism here?
I think it's close. To quote his exact words, neither do I comprehend it. It's enough that it is a fact and nothing else. Experience alone declares it, and I believe more in experience than in my own intelligence.
Very good.
I love that quote. I think I'm going to repeat it every single session, Debbie. Everyone's sick of it.
Okay.
It's from a footnote towards the end of Chronic Diseases. In my copy of Berica, it's 212, page 212, but
I would like to put a little paperclip or a sticky note there. Okay, and just one more before we dive into our session. Beware lest you lose the substance by grasping at the shadow. And this comes from Aesop. I wonder if there was a fable that went with that one.
Don't know. I imagine that there was, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah, sometimes... It also reminds me of Plato. But, you know, sometimes you could be lost in the shadow. Oh, you know that story the one about the man who came over and saw another man who was groveling on the ground looking for something that he had lost, and it was very dark. Or am I messing up the story?
I don't know the story.
He was searching under a lamppost. The guy was searching under a lamppost and he couldn't find what he was looking for. And somebody came along asking him what he was doing. Well, he had dropped, whether it was his ring or whatever it was, his glasses, whatever it was. He says, "I'm looking here because this is where the light is." But he had dropped it somewhere else, totally in the dark. I don't know.
Oh, that's cute. That's a nice story.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Beware lest you lose the substance by grasping at the shadow. I don't know.
Although you never know, there's a story told about official gravesite of the matriarch Rachel. That amongst the tour guides, they know that the official gravesite is not actually where she's buried. But as one of them told me, she got so many visitors, she decided to move there.
Oh, cute!
I don't like that.
There are a lot of people who are in need in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess they were crying out to her. I can understand that. So she needs a break too.
Okay, let's go to 283.
Ready.
Reading from Berica, as usual. Even though there are other translations that are also recommended. In order to work wholly according to nature, the true healing artist will prescribe the accurately chosen homeopathic medicine most suitable in all respects in so small a dose on account of this alone. For should he be misled by human weakness to employ an unsuitable medicine, the disadvantage of its wrong relation to the disease would be so small that the patient could, through his own vital powers and by means of early opposition of the correctly chosen remedy, according to symptom similarity, and this also in the smallest dose, rapidly extinguish and repair it. So I think here we have homeopathy as one of the safest healing methods that exist. Because if in conventional medicine you give, you make a faulty prescription, I don't know about you, Debbie, I've received wrong prescriptions from conventional doctors. And the results are very unpleasant and with possibly long-term negative significance for the patient. I remember actually seeing some research that the healthiest patients are those who are actively involved in their own healthcare. So, you know, the ones who ask the doctor, "Do you really want to prescribe that? Do you really think this is the right drug for me?" The ones who look up their drugs and drive the doctors crazy are likely to be healthier than the ones who don't.
Mm-hmm. Or they're neurotic.
Probably a mixture of both, depending how many drugs and what drugs are in the mix. But
well, maybe if they're so fearful of taking the drug and they don't take it, they are better off.
But here Hanuman is telling us, if we prescribe the previous aphorisms related to the size of dose, for the most mm-hmm. part. So he's telling us, if we prescribe a dose in the small dose that Hanuman recommends, even if we make a mistake and give the wrong medicine, as long as we give it in a small dose, the patient can overcome the wrong medicine through his own vital powers. And also, if we, as quickly as possible, choose a better remedy for the patient. This is, if you remember, there was discussion about whether to antidote, whether to find something that will cancel the action of a wrong remedy, or whether to do that canceling through finding a better remedy and administering it as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Or by stop taking it.
Mm-hmm. The stopping taking it related also to when you have a situation where you have aggravation at the end of case, at the end of the case, the end of the time that the remedy has been given, and you're seeing an artificial medicinal disease.
Mm-hmm.
But here, we're really talking about a situation where it's the wrong remedy. patients may be showing new symptoms they haven't shown before. Some people call that proving. I'm not sure I would go so far as calling it proving, but it certainly shows a susceptibility. But you see the patient isn't improving on the remedy. It's not really helping them, and you can usually see that fast. So then either you antidote, or even better, you go back into the case, re-examine it, think about it carefully, give a better remedy, and that in itself will cancel out any negative action of the inappropriate remedy, which is something that's nice, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that homeopathy has these fail-safes in it.
Does allopathy have a similar way to cancel out the effect of the crude drug that's being taken?
I think that the way probably is, first of all, they tell you to stop taking the drug. I mean, this is my experience, that I was given drugs that were making me sick. I stopped taking those drugs. After 2 weeks, the immediate symptoms went away, but remnants of those symptoms stay with me today, 20 years later.
So this was the question. Does it lay down, I mean, if you've taken particular drugs, does it change something in the system that it doesn't go away?
That's my impression, but perhaps we should ask any of the medical doctors on the list to weigh in with opinions here, because it's not really our field, since we are not medicinal doctors. We're not conventional doctors. So we see how homeopathy works, and we see that homeopathy has these options of different ways to cancel out a negative action of a wrong remedy. But the beauty of it is that to start with, any potential negative action of a wrong remedy is contained by giving these very small doses.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when we say that homeopathy is safe, gentle, and rapid acting and without side effects.
If correctly administered, homeopathy is all that. And certainly we see from, this was Hahnemann's description of homeopathy in aphorism number 2, the highest ideal of cure is rapid, gentle, and permanent restoration of the health, or removal and annihilation of the disease in its whole extent, in the shortest, most reliable, and most harmless way, on easily comprehensible principles. This is what Hahnemann is setting out to show in the book. I think also the word side effects is complicated here. It's not exactly appropriate, because when an allopathic drug gives side effects, the side effects have nothing to do with the disease in question. Usually it's like you go for antibiotics for a throat problem, and you may land up with vomiting and diarrhea from the antibiotic. The vomiting and diarrhea have nothing to do with the throat difficulty, in the same way as the drug itself, the antibiotic, isn't based on any kind of symptom similarity. It's based on a principle of germs cause disease, let's bash the germ, then we'll get rid of the disease. So that's a side effect, literally side, not to do with the center.
Where, so it's a side effect of the drug,
yes.
Not side effect of the disease.
It's not part of the disease. I mean, we've all experienced that. You take antibiotics, and then all of a sudden you find you need to take vitamin C and probiotics and whatever else is possible just to contain the side effects of the antibiotic. And the side effects are similar to you're bashing the area with a sledgehammer that is harming other systems of the body. I can feel myself flapping my hands around, and I'm thinking, this is audio. It won't help if I flap my hands around to make a point here. Like,
What are you flapping? What's happening?
No, it's like when I talk with my hands, but that's not useful on a radio show.
Well, it is, because you're telling us about it, so we can flap with you. Obviously, we've hit a nerve with the antibiotics, as something's going on.
Well, I think the issue, the difference between a side effect and the cases in homeopathy where what you're seeing is more of the artificial disease and less of the original disease, there's something very different in those two scenarios. The scenario of the side effect in allopathic medicine means you take for example, someone I know was given painkillers. He'd fallen and hurt himself. He was given painkillers. The painkillers released the problem in his body but gave him a splitting headache. The headache had nothing to do with the problem being treated.
Right.
The headache was not similar in any way to the problem being treated. The headache had everything to do with a drug.
And very often, something like you're given a drug and you say you can't go in the sun now because you're going to get a totally different kind of reaction, or you can't drive because you're going to get woozy and dizzy and you're going to be sleepy. It doesn't have any, you didn't feel any of those things during the disease state, but only after being given the drug.
Right, exactly. So these are, if you were given a drug and they said, you may find if you have a tendency to XYZ, that tendency might be slightly stronger. Then that would be something that has similarities to the disease state. Here, with the conventional drugs, there is no similarity. Not with this type of drug, not with the antibiotics or those kinds of drugs.
It's almost as if the drug is like a germ. In other words, the germ, they're, in their thinking, the germ is causing the problem, the symptoms. So now they're giving you a drug, and the drug now is causing symptoms that are unrelated. So it's another imposition onto the body that the body has to deal with.
So you could say we've moved from a stage where we had infecting agents called psoria, syphilis, and psychosis, and now we have infecting agents called antibiotics. And although perhaps that would be a little too extreme, but I think one could say that they have a whole series of symptoms that they themselves cause. I wonder if anyone's ever done a proving on an antibiotic.
Oh, I think they must have.
It sounds like they must have, but I don't know. I don't know of it. Maybe someone will respond to this show.
Yes, because I know that you can get them in the pharmacies. You can get homeopathic antibiotics. Okay, so are we moving to further from 283?
Well, actually, I would like to move backwards because I remember that there was a little rant that I wanted to express.
Go, Vera!
About the external treatment. It's one of the things that I find constantly frustrating. When people say to me, I fell, I used Arnica cream, it didn't help much, so homeopathy doesn't work.
Oh.
And in the footnote to 282, Hahnemann talks right at the end about applying medicines externally or not. And for the most part, he rules not to apply externally on a wound site, on a problem site, except in the case of figwarts.
Oh. He gives you the green light for that?
Well, this is, let me just reread that little paragraph. It's the end of the footnote to 282. Experience, however, teaches that the itch plus its external manifestations, as well as the chancre, together with the inner venereal miasm, can and must be cured only by means of specific medicines taken internally. But the figworts, if they have existed for some time without treatment, have need for their perfect cure the external application of their specific medicines, as well as their internal use at the same time. So in the case of figworts, Hahnemann allowed using a remedy externally on a problem site. Now, usually, as we'll see, when one of the options of administering remedies is by rubbing the remedies in through the skin. And it's an option, but in that case, if you do that, then it has to be on an area of skin that's unbroken, an area that is not the problem site. So,
okay, so that's specifically for Arnica, but are you saying for everything?
For everything.
Oh, for everything, unbroken skin.
Yeah, except for treatment of the figwort.
Okay. So, why did he make an exception?
There's a big debate around it. I don't know what the conclusions to the debate are. I would be interested to hear from those who know more about it. But I still, back to my rant, I feel very frustrated in general. There are far too many cases where people say, I've tried homeopathy and it doesn't work. And what they have tried is they've tried mixtures. In the best of cases, the closest they've gotten to homeopathy is mixtures given by someone who's usually not that qualified to give it. Or they haven't tried homeopathy at all. They've tried tinctures, or they've tried Bach flower remedies, or they've tried...
I just lost your sound.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
You're back. They've tried tinctures and Bach flower remedies and something else you said.
Tinctures, Bach flower remedies, vitamins. Basically, so many people, and I know I was one of them, I admit to my previous total ignorance and have repented of my sins, but so many people, they walk into a health food shop and they see everything in that place is homeopathic.
Uh-huh.
And it's very sad that this term homeopathic, which describes this method of healing, which describes the method of medicine, has come to mean anything natural. I almost expect to walk into a shop and be told, here, we have some homeopathic carrots in today. It's like, so what does that mean?
They will do it if they can. Homeopathic Coca-Cola.
Well, homeopathic Coca-Cola could be the new Ritalin. What do you think?
It might work.
Let's run out. Let's pass it.
Oh, good. Hey, don't give anybody an idea they're going to do it. So, how are we on time today?
We have another 7 minutes or so.
Oh, good. All right. So,
so that's my personal rant. I'm very frustrated when people tell me they put Arnica cream on and they did not cure quickly. If anyone has anything intelligent to say to these people, then I'll be very happy to hear it.
Well, I'm going to give you the crown for being the MythBuster because you started a series on Homeopathy World Community of what are these little myths that people have been walking around in their heads thinking, and we're going to examine them, or you're going to examine them and give us some answers or opinions or even asking for assistance about some of them, and maybe more people will read and learn that what is and is not homeopathy, and it's so broad. This problem is so broad that we'll touch upon it again. Mm-hmm. I know as we continue to read the aphorisms.
Maybe I'll use the Arnica cream myth in my next one. Let's see if that calls forth response. We have around 6.5 minutes. Let's just read 284.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Organon aphorism 284. Besides the tongue, mouth, and stomach, which are most commonly affected by the administration of medicine, the nose and respiratory organs are receptive of the action of medicines in fluid form by means of olfaction and inhalation through the mouth. But the whole remaining skin of the body, clogged with epidermis, is adapted to the action of medicinal solutions, especially if the inunction, is that a word, is connected with simultaneous internal administration. Okay, gotta look that one. I don't even know if I pronounced it correctly.
Inunction.
Yeah.
I see.
Do you have that word?
I don't have it.
It's the process of applying and rubbing in an ointment, the act of anointing. That is the definition.
So basically, if you go to the spa for a massage, then you will ask your massagist for an inunction of oil.
Let's do it. I think I would like that idea.
I think we'd see a very surprised massage person, masseuse.
Oh, they might be very knowledgeable and surprise you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. We're seeing here that the remedies are absorbed through the tongue, mouth, stomach, mm-hmm. nose, respiratory organs, and the whole epidermis.
Mm-hmm. When they say stomach, then does he mean internally, or does he mean application on the outside where the belly button is?
I think initially in the first sentence he's talking about internally. But
okay, so mucous membranes.
But the thing is, the way I see it, a remedy that's been diluted and succussed to such a point is an energy remedy. I wouldn't see it reaching the stomach. I wouldn't see any kind of stomach involvement being there, not like with a substance drug.
Mm-hmm. I that's why it seems kind of odd, doesn't it?
It does. To me, it seems odd.
So do you think he could have meant on the outside?
In this particular area, I don't think he meant on the outside. I think he meant on the inside. And
mm-hmm.
look, you can see it in two ways. You can see it as, well, it's an energy medicine, therefore the stomach isn't involved. Or you can say this whole area, tongue, mouth, stomach, these are energy centers in themselves. We're all energy and matter. So.
And he's still talking about liquid remedies, because I can understand if you sort of take a hard tablet, and then you can say, okay, when it reaches the stomach, it's going to dissolve.
Possibly. I don't know. It's not clear to me.
Okay.
It's not clear to me at all.
Anyone out there with ideas?
Well, we hope to see them in chat and comments.
Okay. We'll leave plenty of room for that in the HWC BTR, Who's Reading the Organon group, mm-hmm. where we have discussions for each week. And we learned a new word for today, so I think we've accomplished a lot.
In addition, though, I would like to say I use olfaction for quite a lot of patients. The type of situations where I'll use olfaction as a way of administering the remedy is especially where there's been drug abuse and there is recovery, because there very often the patients don't want to be taking anything. They don't want to take anything by mouth. And use of olfaction can resolve a problem for them, make the process easier. I'll use olfaction also where I suspect extreme sensitivity. Then I'll start with an olfactory dose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use so much inhalation through the mouth, more olfaction through the nose. So I have to see more about what the inhalation through the mouth refers to. Anyway, I think, Debbie, our time is almost up.
Okay.
I see another minute or so on the clock here.
Did we not even get to the footnote?
We did not even get to the footnote, but we will.
Okay. Until tomorrow. That must be Shakespeare. Beware lest you lose the substance by grasping at the shadow. That was Aesop.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to make one for a Veraism. What is your umbrella for today?
I have no idea. I have to think about this one.
I think we were all over the place. I don't know whether it fit into one little category. We kind of went on a side trip.
Mm-hmm.
When you... Yeah.
Well, I'll think of one for the blog when I put the aphorism up on my Organon blog.
Mhm. Yeah. I don't even have one, and that's really stumped me.
Mhm.
Maybe stop taking the drug if it makes you sick.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Vera.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon? With homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brooke on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.